Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
So I very methodically prepare for this breakup. He goes, I feel like things have gotten a lot better between us. We haven't been arguing as much. And so I was wondering like if you'd want to get engaged soon. He says this to me and I'm like, what? I like close my box of pizza very calmly, pull my hands together and go, actually, we're breaking up.
Have you ever planned your breakup? I don't mean, I need to finally end this relationship. I mean like you set a time frame. Like, I'm going to stay in this relationship for 1 year, then I'm out, because that's where we're going today. Hey, what's up? It's Abby from The Breakup Breakdown. How you doing? Have you followed us on Instagram yet? If you like following your podcast on social media, you can find The Breakup Breakdown on Instagram at Breakup Breakdown Podcast. Also, if you have a breakup story that you'd like to tell on the podcast, or hey, maybe you're curious about somebody else's breakup, you can submit all those stories and inquiries. There's a submission form in the episode description. Also, if you like this podcast, don't hold back, leave us a positive review. And last but not least, this week we are raising awareness for Safe Alliance in Charlotte, North Carolina. Safe Alliance offers shelter and resources for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. To learn more about how you can support, check out all the information in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This is the first solo intro I've done in a hot second. Feels very intimate. It's just me and you here. So let's just jump right into things. This week's submission actually comes from a close friend of the person who will be interviewed this week. I believe it came from a DM, and basically she was telling me that her close friend had been dating a guy for a couple of years and they were incredibly serious. They lived together. Everybody thought they were going to get married, and I guess whatever problems they were having weren't really apparent to their friends and family, but it turns out there was a lot more to the relationship that nobody really saw coming, and it led to her friend having to make a really hard decision about this relationship. She was completely blindsided by something going on in her partner's life and some of the decisions that he made during their relationship. And what I found really interesting about this is that it brings up what I consider to be sort of the unintended result of doing this podcast. And it's always the threshold for people's ability to put up with things that they're not really sure that they want in a relationship. You know, how much can you take until you've decided that you've had enough? And so when something like this is left kind of vague, it makes you wonder, okay, is this the kind of person that just has a high tolerance for BS and maybe there was a ton going on and there were red flags early on? Or was this something where there was a lot of gray area where she had to do some really deep thinking and decide, okay, like, how do I know if this is right for me? How do I know if this is something that is a red flag or something that I can work through? I think that's something that everybody has had to face in some form or another in a relationship. And it's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is that we get to hear from different people's perspectives about how they work through those things, when they decided they've had enough, and what really counted as a red flag and what was just something they had to work through. And so that's what we're going to get into while we break down this week's breakup.
We met volunteering for a nonprofit really focused on preventing drunk driving for young people. So we were both part of like this executive board, staying up late most nights. So we met that way. I think I was like a junior maybe.
Did you like notice each other in this program? Who approached who?
It's hard to miss this guy. I like this tall guy. He was super charismatic, really outgoing, like assertive, a really strong leader in this like program. So like, oh, this guy like knows what he's doing. He's super attractive, super tall. We love a tall guy. So that kind of like led me to just like want to chat more. And he definitely ended up like making the first move on me, asked me to meet up with him after we were done volunteering. So we would volunteer until like 3 a.m. And so he would want to hang out after this. I was like, okay, like if he's trying to hang out with me after like 3 a.m., this is great. And that was really it. And we had a lot of mutual friends. And so we did a lot of things together. The crazy thing about like what really brought us together though. So on our campus, our junior year, there was an Uber shooter. So there was an Uber driver was picking people up, and in between picking like Uber rides up was shooting people in this community, which is just like insane, right? It was all over the news. And so we were operating this like student driving thing where we had volunteers out in the field and they were picking up students and like driving them home. And now everyone's terrified that like the person stopping by to pick people up was going to have a gun. And so like the police were out looking for them. And so what ended up happening was our entire campus and like the surrounding community was shut down. And so I lived further away from campus. And so he was like, come with me. Like, we're going to be fine. So like everyone's like running all over. So I ended up staying at his house that night. We were just like terrified. And so that was like how, like, okay, well, we're here together now. We've had this traumatic experience. And so that's actually how we ended up dating. We had been together ever since that night.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah, it was kind of terrifying. And I think back on it, like my heart's racing just thinking about it, like just seeing all of these students sprinting everywhere. And yeah, I think there were like, unfortunately, like 8 people that died that night. It was pretty intense. Hard to ride in Ubers again after for a little while.
Yeah, I can imagine that was a really traumatic experience. And also, I think I've read like some studies where it's like when you experience something that spikes your adrenaline or like you overcome a big challenge, it's like one of the things that like triggers falling in love feelings. So, I mean, not to be like, oh, this really traumatic experience probably set that off, but I can imagine it really brought you two together.
Oh, absolutely. It was like an instant bonding thing. Like we had gone through this experience together. Yeah, absolutely. We instantly just felt bonded, you know, like you said, I mean, you go through something tough, you feel close to them. Like when you're working at a job or whatever, and like it's really traumatic, you feel very bonded to your coworkers. So absolutely. That was kind of like how it started. I was already interested in him before, but this is really what sealed the deal for us.
I totally see the appeal. Especially if your life is in danger, I would be clinging to the tallest man in the room too.
Oh, exactly. I'm like, I'm going to ride on your back. Let's go to safety. It was great. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys start dating, and where does your relationship go from there? Like, how long did you date before things started to take a turn?
Yeah, so we dated through the rest of undergrad. We both moved together. So we started living together, and then we moved to grad school for me. He got a job over there. I was in school full-time and teaching, and so we moved in together there. Things were great initially. Things were awesome. We were meeting new people and setting up a community there, and we were living in, like, a community where there's, like, a really nice lake, and so we were doing a lot of outdoor activities. I thought for sure that I was going to marry this man. I was like, this is it. We're going to get married. We've got these dogs. It's going to be great. I've met his family. He's met my family. We did a lot of traveling with my friends. He's just so charismatic. And so all my friends thought he was great. He's like the kind of person when you meet him, you instantly have like an inside joke with him. You know, it's just so easy to get along with him. When you're in grad school and when you're doing internships and you're working, like there's just not a lot of time to do anything else, right? So like I'm in classes all day and I just wasn't home a lot. I was teaching and doing everything, trying to like be able to afford my bills while in grad school. And so COVID hit in the middle of all this. And things had seemed fine because we didn't have time to argue. We, you know, had become, I guess, the equivalent of like roommates that kind of had a crush on each other, I guess is how I'd describe it. But when COVID hit, we were really forced to be together, right? We had this 2-bedroom apartment, just the two of us and our dogs, and we were stuck in it for months at a time. And I think that COVID hitting was really what unearthed two things. It unearthed the fact that there were some things that were going on in the relationship that were just not healthy, some toxic things that I had ignored before because I was so into him and we had bonded over like this really traumatic experience. So that's one of the things that it kind of uncovered for me. And it also uncovered for me that like our sexual relationship was not strong. I have a pretty high sex drive and we just were not ever having sex. Like we were in this space together all the time and just staying in this apartment constantly. And I was interested in it. I'm like, we've got all this time. We haven't had time to connect like this before, and he just was not interested. Yeah.
Can I ask if that was pretty consistent throughout your relationship, or did that change just as the years went on?
At the very beginning, I mean, we were like rabid for the first year and a half. It was just like constantly. So that was not consistent at the very beginning. I would say that within a year and a half of dating, things like majorly slowed down. But then when I talked to friends and family about it, like not in too much detail, they're like, oh, that's totally normal. Like things slowed down. But when I say things slowed down, I'm saying like we had sex maybe once a month or every other month. He was never into it.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is like super weird, but like, I respect that. You know, like I have some friends and like girlfriends who are also not super into it. And I think an important thing to say too is that he was raised really Catholic. I think there's a lot of shame associated with like sex outside of marriage for like at least my Catholic friends. And so I kind of just assumed that that might be affecting him also. So I was like, okay, it's like totally fine. But eventually it starts to make you wonder like, why? Like, are you not attracted to me? Is there something going on in your life? Is it like a mental health issue? Whatever. So I would say, to answer your question though, our sexual relationship changed big time from when we started dating.
I would feel pretty insecure too if my partner only wanted to have sex once a month.
I know.
Like that is pretty sparse. And I mean, if you were in your 50s and had been married for 25 years, maybe that's a different story. But like, you know, a couple of years into the relationship, especially if you're living together during COVID times, you got all the time in the world.
I know, exactly. And I'm like, we're just hanging out all day. Like, why wouldn't you want to? Like, it's something to pass the time. It's fun. And just not interested. A couple times that I tried to talk to him about it, he had a lot of self-image issues, a lot related to like the way that his mom particularly approached physique. And so like, if you're not perfectly thin, if you're not in shape, then you're not valued the same way. So I think I was like, okay, it's probably a lot of factors. It's not me.
You also mentioned that there were some toxic things that were unearthed during this time. Can you be a little bit more specific on that?
We would have arguments. They weren't frequent, but we would have these arguments where he would just blow up in this way. And I'm like, in like some weird toxic part of my brain, I was like attracted to it, if that makes sense, because at least he was willing to engage with me. He wasn't trying to avoid me. My parents are super avoidant when it comes to conflict. And so like, at least this guy would engage. Was it a healthy way to do it? No. Later on in my own individual therapy, like that's called gaslighting. You know, like I was like taught these terms of what toxic behaviors are in relationships. That wasn't something I was aware of at the time, but I would say that like the number one thing that I think of that's just like a very good example of like the toxic ways in which we interacted. So he just got me these two cats. He just brought me these two cats for Christmas. And I had never asked for cats, really. I was like, oh, I like cats. I like my roommate's cats. And he brought me these cats. This is a really sweet gift. I don't really want it. I would like to take the cats back. He got so mad at me. We fought for like 2 weeks about these cats and how I didn't want, and I was ungrateful for the gift and I was being unreasonable and this isn't how we pictured it happening. And I was going to have to take the cats back myself if I was going to be such a bitch and not accept his gift. And so it was just very like about him and not about the fact that like I didn't have enough money to have a cat. That was like the first sign. I was like, okay, maybe this is not like a healthy thing, because like he shouldn't have reacted that way. It should have been like, oh, I understand. Like I sprung this on you. This is a big commitment. Toxic relationships, you try to overwrite the memories, ignore the things that had happened, or you convince yourself that they weren't that bad. The thing that I did a lot was hide our arguments and hide the things that were happening from my loved ones. So like my friends, my parents, I wanted everything to appear perfect on the outside. So like, we're not having sex, we're not communicating well, and we're having these big blow up fights.
So did things get worse? Where do things kind of go from here?
Like I said, there were two things that were uncovered. So like the toxic traits and also the lack of having sex. And so in this period of time, I start to reflect not just on the toxic parts of our relationship, but also on the signs that they're like, why aren't we having sex, right? Like I really started to dig into it, and I was trying really hard to not be biased in any way. One of the things that I started to think about was in college, when everyone's like, oh, let's give it the old college try, you know, he was very interested in and nearly insistent on having sexual encounters with, in threesomes, with other men. We played this really ridiculous game. We would start playing like Disney Seen It, and then if we got a question wrong, you had to remove an article of clothing. So I always ended up in these situations where like I was sitting there on the couch, he and his guy friend were like making out or like kissing each other like in these games. I'm like, this is really weird. Like, I don't know why you're so into this.
What, was he openly bisexual or
not at all?
Okay, gotcha.
Oh my God, not at all. I mean, I think in a combination of like the Catholic upbringing and like some self-denial kind of stuff, it was completely like not discussed. And I had asked a couple times, like just out of curiosity, like I was like, oh, like, are you know, interested in men and all? And it was like, no, why would you ever say that kind of thing? Like, very defensive.
Well, I just saw you and Jared making out during Sexy Seen It. So
exactly. So I'm gonna, I was like, oh, like, my bad. But that's the thing. Like, he would gaslight me into saying like, that's not at all how it happened. No. You didn't understand the situation or something. So like, okay, maybe I did.
In the midst of reflecting on some of the worst parts of your relationship, you're wondering, okay, maybe he's actually interested in men and
that's why we're not having sex? Is that what you're trying to say here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I thought that at the very least, maybe he's bisexual, or like maybe we're not having sex because he's like struggling with his sexuality. So, which had me being more empathetic towards the situation. You know, maybe it is a possibility because we had a number of experiences like this. And I was like, okay, yeah, those are the two things that really started to come to light for me.
Gotcha. So did you confront him about this, or did you just kind of push it to the back of your mind saying, no, he was just experimenting in college or whatever?
Exactly. And so like, it's related to the blow up you would have towards me. I became kind of afraid to talk about it because if I mentioned it, it would make it worse. It would make it even less likely that we would have sex, or it would just make it so that he was really upset with me, really mad. And it was just scary, I guess is how I would describe it. So I honestly like started taking on some of the traits that I didn't like and became a little bit avoidant of this kind of stuff, honestly.
To be afraid of your partner is a pretty scary thing. And so did you feel trapped in this relationship at all?
I think at the time I didn't. At the time, I still really cared about him. I thought he was super fun to hang out with all friends and everything. And like in my head, I was going to marry this man. Reflecting later, like we're years out from this right now. Reflecting on it, I think that the answer is yes. Like we lived together. We had dogs together. My family has a habit of marrying the person that they meet really young, like as young as like my mom and dad met when my mom was 14.
And so like there is like a really high, particularly by my grandma, a really big priority and focus put on the importance of relationships, finding value by being in relationships. And so I think that a big factor here was that because of my upbringing and because of the way that my family talks about the relationships, I was like, I need to just work harder to make this work, and that I need to hide it, obviously the bad parts, and that a lot of my value came from being in a relationship. And so, yeah, I think that I felt very trapped both by like myself and where how I grew up, and because I was kind of scared, honestly.
Yeah, especially if this is just how it's always been. I mean, our upbringings impact us so much in our relationships as we get older. And if everybody in your family met someone at, 20 and got married to that person, that's normal to you. And so you're thinking, well, I just have to work harder. He's a great guy, and we just have a couple of problems we need to fix.
So exactly.
Did you ever get to a point where you were like, okay, I actually don't think this is the man I'm going to marry? Did you confront him about it?
So I asked him once, are you happy? Like, are you happy in this relationship? And because I said, I'm not feeling happy, right? Like, I don't feel great about this.
I said that, and he's like, well, I get that. Let's do something together. And so one of the things that we like to do pre-COVID was go on like camping trips with my best friend and her partner. And so he's like, well, maybe let's do this. Let's go on this trip with them. We'll have a good time. It'll be fun. So I was like, okay, great. Like, this sounds awesome. We go on this camping trip. So we're outside. And while we were camping, he was really weird about his phone because he had the best phone and we were taking photos with it. And so we wanted to look through the photos, but he's really weird about anybody touching his phone. Like, after he had agreed, like, yeah, we should work on a relationship, whatever. And I was like, okay, so this is suspicious.
And so while I'm looking through the photos of our trip on his phone, text messages started coming in from his coworker. And I had heard about this coworker. I was aware that it existed, but it was starting to say things like, oh, I miss you so much. It's not the same without you here. You know, like going on and on about how, like, it wasn't like a relationship, but it was definitely more than just coworkers.
Texting them while they're on vacation saying like you miss them and that it's just not the same without them around, like that would be normal. But the fact that he was so defensive of us looking at his phone, it was like a red flag to me, right? I was like, okay, so something's going on here. It turns out that like he had this big crush on a coworker, but this coworker was a woman. I was like, okay, so like clearly like my fears about him being interested in only men aren't true, like he's interested in this female coworker. So like in a weird way it was like relieving but also hurtful because he was having what I would consider like he's like emotionally cheating on me, really talking about like our relationship to this coworker. And so that was very concerning to me. So that was like directly after we agreed that we would work on some of the things that were making us both unhappy.
He's getting these messages from a female coworker and you're like, okay, I'm at least at the bare minimum, I'm getting cheated on emotionally. Did you ask him about it or did you just kind of hope it went away?
We asked about it. But what is so terrifying about being in a relationship with someone so charismatic and toxic is that I didn't want to admit to my friends who were on this trip with us that what was happening. Like, I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't feel like it was their business. He, because I was so upset, started treating me like I was ruining the trip. And I was like, I want to talk to him about it just privately. He didn't want to. He wasn't going to have it.
And so I was just upset and I couldn't hide being upset. He's manipulated them in some way into thinking that I was causing the problems on the trip. I was being terrible. So my friends were like frustrated with me a little bit. They took his side in some way. Reflecting back on it later, my friend apologized. She's like, I should never do this and I'll never do it again. But like, it's so easy to do when this guy is like so charismatic and outgoing and like it comes off as like being open. And so I felt super isolated. This is probably the worst trip of my life going camping with them, not because of the friends, but because of what was happening. So I felt really isolated. I just couldn't wait for the trip to be over. I was like, please, at least on this trip, stop talking to this coworker. I don't know if he did or not, but that was like the hope. And so then we got home and I'm like, okay, we can figure things out when we get home.
That sounds awful. You felt like you were going crazy because you're like, well, maybe nothing is going wrong.
And exactly.
Then your friends are telling you you're crazy and you're in this relationship that isn't making you happy. I would have blown up on the trip. I would have caused some problems for sure.
And I feel the same way. And looking back, I'm like, I should have like blown up and exposed the whole thing. But like, if I exposed the whole thing, my friends had been like, you need to break up with him. And I wasn't ready to admit that the relationship was failing. I was not ready to admit that to myself, to other people, because that would feel like I had failed and I didn't want to fail. So yeah, absolutely. I agree. Looking back, I was like, I should have sang like a canary and gone nuts, but I didn't.
No. One of the people that comes on this podcast for commentary and stuff, her name's Lexi. And she actually told me this on an episode. She's like, you know, I actually knew my ex was cheating on me, but I didn't want to confront her about it because I wasn't ready for the relationship to be over.
Yep.
And that's a very valid feeling, knowing that you're about to press the eject button if you start pressing in on this
exactly.
issue.
Yep, exactly.
You did confront him about it after the trip or no?
I did, to the extent that he just said, oh yeah, absolutely, I'll stop doing this. Like, you can meet the coworker and I'll stop doing it. I'm like, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it was very much to like appease me. He's like, oh yep, I've been caught, to the extent that I can just say like, yep, I'll stop. I don't think he ever really did. I think that the coworker wasn't as interested in the end with him. She started dating somebody else. And so I think that it was less so a loss of interest on his end, but it was more like a loss of interest from her. So I think that eventually did kind of like reduce. But I will say the talking about the things that were happening in our relationship didn't stop with the coworker that he was interested in and an older female coworker also. I just am not happy. But again, I'm just unwilling to admit what's happening in front of me.
Okay, so the relationship, emotional or physical or whatever it was, with that other coworker ends. Does he continue to emotionally cheat on you with other people? Like, where does it get worse?
Very shortly after this, he had stopped talking to this coworker. I was like, okay, I think things are going to get better. Great. We hadn't had like a big blow up argument. This is great. And so something about me, like a medical thing about me that's important to this story, is that while we were dating, I would get like relatively frequent yeast infections, which is kind of ugh, but I just had like a regular prescription for it. My doctor was like, yep, this is common. Some women just have this experience, whatever. I fill my prescription for Diflucan or whatever it is, take the yeast infection pill, should go away. After the amount of time that it would normally have gone away, it didn't. I'm like, this is weird. So I'm like, maybe I need to take another one. Maybe I need another dose. And we're down at my parents', because my parents, we do a fall camping trip every year. And so we're at my parents', ready to go on this camping trip. And I'm in the bathroom and I like come out because like obviously this infection hadn't gone away. And I was like, so something's going on here. And I like half jokingly, because I'm a little bit of afraid of the confrontation and the blow up, go like, you didn't like cheat on me and give me an STD, right? Like, LOL. And my whole family had gone to bed at this point. It was kind of late at night. And so it was just the two of us. And he goes, no, I did. So sometimes like men can be dumb about this stuff. So I'm just going to say, like, you know that STDs or STIs can be transmitted by more than just vaginal sex, right? Like, it could be like oral, like it can be anal, like it can be like whatever. And you can also get STDs from men. And I like just said all that because like I was like in the back of my head, I've always wondered about his like sexuality. And so after I say that, he like passes out on the floor, like full on faint.
Gosh.
Yeah. He like full on faint and like white as a sheet, just falls over, passes out. And I'm like, that's a yes. Like, that is the strongest confirmation of a yes that I can imagine. But I go into disaster mode. And so like, I'm like, all right, so this is true. So now I need to make a decision on how to proceed. A piece of me in this moment felt relief. This is my out. Officially, I found it. Like, no one's gonna question me breaking up with him, because like, it's confirmed physical cheating. This is it. This is how I'm gonna get my support system to like believe me, because it feels like they're not gonna believe all the bad stuff that happened because I never told them before. So like, they're gonna believe me. Great.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Take out, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But also, so we go outside and we talk about it outside. And he's like, would it make it better if I told you that I cheated on you with a man? Yeah. And I was like, buddy, stop at the word cheating. It doesn't matter who, regardless of who this man is sleeping with, like, you cheated. I know. And I was like, does it make it better? No, it doesn't make it any better. It feels like a I'm not crazy moment also, right? Like, I was not crazy for wondering if this contributed to why we weren't having sex very often, why he was always interested in men in college, like that kind of thing. So it felt like confirmation. So a piece of me was like, I was right. We have the conversation. I send him away, right? I'm like, you can't go on this trip, obviously. Like, you gotta go, buddy. How did your family handle that? Were they like, what's going on? The thing that really got me, I was like crying a lot. Like, I was upset. I was like very upset. And they're like, what happened? And I was like, yeah, he cheated on me. And I at that point, I was like, I'm just gonna come clean. Like, there's nothing to hold back now. I'm just gonna tell my family what happened. So I'm like, he cheated on me with a man. And the crazy thing is, everyone was like, that makes sense. And I was like, what do you mean it makes sense? They're like, oh, we always thought that was a possibility. And I'm like, okay, you guys are just biased, or you're like stereotyping, judging, whatever. And they're like, but like, I'm not kidding, every single person, friend and family that I told, they were not fully surprised that this was the case. Like, oh yeah, we always thought he was maybe bisexual or whatever, like, but if he made you happy, great.
Why would they say that? Were they honestly, like, were they just kind of stereotyping based off of mannerisms? Or
I would say the answer is yes. So like, he wasn't into sports, he was into like musicals. So he was in musicals when he was younger. And like, all of this is like stereotyping. These are just the things that he said that weren't really relevant to me. Mannerisms were very much in line with someone that you would assume was gay. And so there were a lot of things, basically, is what I'll say, that like had other people believing that. Yeah, no one was like surprised. So that surprised me. I was like, what? This is all something that you guys had been thinking and never mentioned? They're like, no, it's none of our business, which is fair. But sometimes you're just like, how am I so blind? You know, I had to get my dog. My dog was being watched by his sister on the other side of the state. So I got in the car after I'd sent him away and went to get my dog. I was like, this dog is the love of my life, and I will not, nothing's going to happen to this dog. And I didn't think anything would. Like, I really trusted his sister, but I just needed that comfort, right? Like, I wanted my dog with me. So I went across the state with my younger sister. We picked up my dog. And in this process of me going over there, I start to second guess my decision. It's this kind of like ingrained feeling of being crazy that I had been living with for so long. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't break up with him. And you start to like wonder like what it's going to be like to be alone, right? And all I could hear is my grandma's voice in my head saying like, you're going to be unhappy if you're alone. It's better to like have somebody, whatever. And so like, I start second guessing my decision of breaking up with him because of this. Which is just looking back, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But I did. So I get my dog, go on this family trip. But when I get back, we live together. So I obviously had to go back to my apartment. And so we go back and he's there waiting for me, of course. It feels like I walk into this bubble, and in this bubble, he's saying all the things I needed to hear. He's admitting to me that, yes, maybe he's a little bit interested in men. He's admitting to me that, yes, he's done some really bad things in the past. He's saying, I'll try couples therapy with you, which is like amazing. And I love that. And I've always wanted that. And so he's saying all the things that I needed to hear. And it was just so perfect. And I was like, okay, maybe this is the moment that things turn around for us. Like, maybe this is it. Meaning like, you know, you always hear about those couples or relationships where like, yep, someone cheated, but then they like changed the way they communicate and they made it through and were able to rebuild trust. Whatever. And so through this, through acting exactly the way I always hoped he would and agreeing to do these things, I was like, okay, I'm gonna stay with him. I'm gonna stick by him, and I'm gonna hope he explores his sexuality, and like, I support him in that, and this journey is gonna be really tough, and I really care about him, so I'm gonna stay. The thing that I didn't tell him in this moment is like, I'm going to give it 1 year of my life. One more year, us trying to work on this, of him exploring who he is, of us in couples therapy. I will give it one calendar year from this date. So this was, it was like starting in October. We give it one calendar year. If he doesn't do these things, then I leave him. And I would have time to prepare myself for that because I'm giving myself 1 year. And if I don't see the things that I wanted happening, then I'd be done.
1 year is actually pretty generous, I would say.
I mean, that's
the whole year, girl.
I know. It's a whole other year of my life. But keep in mind, too, I'm still in grad school. And in 1 year, I would have been done with grad school. And because of the intensity of my grad school program, I think that I didn't want to rock the boat and have to move while I'm finishing my graduation thesis and all my classes and I'm teaching. I think like a piece of me was like, I give it a year. If he does these things, great. But in the meantime, I'm not rocking the boat. So I'm not affecting my professional career.
That actually makes total sense. And also, like you said, A, you love this person. You've been with them for years, but B, apart from the issues that you're having, it seems like it's a relationship that you really enjoy being in. So in your mind, you're thinking, okay, well, if we can just get rid of these problems through couples therapy, I think this is something we could work through.
Exactly. I'm like, this could be the best case scenario for everything. Like, we could be like working through all these issues, and my career and like my professional life is like super important to me. I just really enjoy what I do. And so I didn't want to jeopardize that at all. Like, I'm like, at the very least, you're not going to jeopardize you being able to, you know, get the jobs you want and the career you want because of some dude, like at the very least. So I chose not to rock the boat, and I decided to stay for a year.
How long did it take for you to decide that wasn't the right move?
So I would say about 4 months in. Initially, he was doing everything I wanted. He set up a couples counselor. We were talking more. He was discussing more openly a little bit about like the times in which we had like sexually done something with other men. And he was like explaining that and talking about how he had a crush on his guy friend that we were playing the sexy scene it with, like he said. And so he was being a little bit open. But 4 months in, so we had gone to two couples therapy sessions. And in the second couples therapy session, he said something that wasn't very nice or was kind of rude. And the couples therapist brought it up and he goes, oh, I never said that. And she goes, no, I like very much heard you say it. And I was like, yeah, see, this happens all the time. Like, I'm constantly told, like, I'm not hearing things correctly, or he didn't say something, or he didn't say it like that. And so the couple's counselor is like, unfortunately, what I'm seeing you do here, you are trying to gaslight me now. I did hear you say that. And so like that session ended, and after, he just lost his mind. He's like, you're ganging up on me with the couple's therapist. This is all your fault. Like, this isn't helpful. All we talk about in the sessions are what I'm doing wrong, one of my flaws that he always pointed out, that I don't put the cups in the sink. Like, I leave cups of water and like juice all over the place. Like, not a ton. We're talking like 4 or 5. He's like, that is part of the reason why I don't feel like this is like a good relationship for me, because I wasn't putting the cups in the sink. Housework, I know, is important, but like that right there is like what he was clinging to as something that we needed to talk about in couples therapy. But like, let's ignore the fact that he's, you know, cheated and gaslighting, toxic behaviors, and like the things he's done to hurt me. The bigger issue is the dishes. After that session, he attacked me over it and said he'll never go again. So we never went to another couple session again. So that was like 4 or 5 months in. And I'm like, I had set myself on a year. I was very close to graduating. Just grin and bear it till the end. You've been living with this for this long. You can finish grad school. So like, it didn't interrupt my living situation, none of it. So I make it the full year. Actually, I made it. I know. Surprise for myself and everybody else. I was the only one who knew about the year-long timeline. I made it the full year. And so when it came to a month before I was going to break up with him, so we're talking September, I was going to break up with him in October. When we hit September, I start to prepare for the break. Contact the leasing place and I put the lease in my name. I contact the utilities and I switch the utilities to my name. I remove him as an authorized user on my credit card. I prepare everything. And I make a list of all of the people that I know that I need to get rid of on social media, because I'm a clean break person. Like, once I decide on the clean break, I'm done. So I very methodically prepare for this breakup. And so in the month of September, we didn't have any arguments because I was so busy preparing for the end. The final thing, I'm like, this is my sign to do it. So we're in October. And he goes, I feel like things have gotten a lot better between us. And we haven't been arguing as much. And so I was wondering, like, if you'd want to get engaged soon. So, like, I'm at the age where, like, most of my friends are getting married, having kids, whatever, doing the thing. And he's the same age. So he says this to me at this Blaze Pizza. And I'm like, what? And so I like, close my box of pizza very calmly, pull my hands together and go, actually, we're breaking up. And so I break up with him right then and there, right after he had been talking about like a marriage proposal thing. And the look on his face is one of like shock. And because I've tried during arguments to like break up with him or like say this isn't going to work, whatever. But like, I think my eerily calm approach to it was like, oh shit, she means it.
You pulled a total, I don't know if you've seen Legally Blonde, but you pulled like a Warner on him. Like, he thought he was getting engaged and you were like, actually, this is not going to work out for me. Actually, I've taken you off of everything and this relationship is done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so like he didn't have like a leg to stand on. I'm like, yep, actually. And I listed all the things that I already done. I've already removed you from the lease and I've already talked to them and I've already talked to the utilities and I've handled all of this stuff. So actually all I need you to do this weekend is get the few things that you have out. Like he had a couch and a TV. That was it in his clothes. So like that's, I had provided everything else. He just needed to get that stuff and leave. And so he's looking at me like, I can't believe this is happening. His mind was like blown by it. And then he kind of turned it around. Like the one effort, the one attempt to convince me to stay or like act like it was my fault that this was happening was he was like, well, this is just because you want to be with somebody else. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, interesting. He's like, yeah, you just want to be with like one of your coworkers or something and that you've been hanging out with. And I'm like, okay, this is a very sad attempt to make this stay. Like there are a lot of reasons why I think anybody would have broken up with you long before. So honestly though, the hardest part of the whole thing was having to separate the dogs. I think that like separating the dogs was honestly like another really important factor as to why I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to break up with them. I'm like, I can't lose the other dog. It felt like my child. They'd been together for years and I was going to devastate the dogs by splitting them up. And so I did end up having to do it. I said my goodbyes during the month of September to the other dog and spent a lot of quality time with him. When I think about this relationship, it is the one thing that gets me choked up. Like I feel like choked up right now.
I feel the same way. And it's funny that you bring that up because I was reading a book and there were a couple of people whose lives were at risk and then a dog. And I was like, I don't care what happens to these characters, but if this author kills off the fucking dog, I'm not finishing.
I'm done. I'm throwing the book out. Exactly. And so that, it's still this thing that's the hardest. Like we're years out now and it's still the hardest. He got his stuff and I removed everyone that we had mutual on social media. And that was that. And I was able to, with my career that I had really worked hard to get, was able to comfortably afford everything on my own, and there was no like big loss financially for me, which was great. It was a lot of therapy, essentially, is what I'm saying. Like I need a lot of therapy coming out of this. So
did you go back to that same therapist, and was she like,
I fucking told you, yeah,
could have done this 6 months ago.
Yeah, exactly. I went back and I was like, so I did it. And she's like, okay, I'm very proud. So like, where do we go from here? I'm like, I think we got a lot of healing to do. Like my therapist was waiting for me to do this, essentially. And I was like, okay. So
when you walked into their office after that, after you broke up with your boyfriend, like what was that first thing that you felt like you really needed to heal from? What did you tackle first?
I think it's like the self-trust thing. And I still struggle with that sometimes. I think that like when you know that you're in a situation that isn't good for you, and when you know that you're leaving yourself in it, and when you've been treated like you're crazy and that you're the problem for so long, it really makes you not trust yourself. And so I think that that is the thing that I struggled with the most. It's feeling like I can't trust myself. Even starting to date other people now and I'm dating someone else, it's like that is the thing that persistently is an issue that I question whether or not like I'm able to make good decisions, particularly for relationships, like not for career or anything, but like in relationships, I feel like I just can't make good choices, which is terrifying to feel that way.
Do you feel like poor choices persisted even after the end of this relationship? Did your next relationships, like, did you stay in them when you shouldn't have?
Oh, no. I've worked really hard. I've worked to come up with a red flag, green flag, yellow flag list, which sounds crazy. I'm like an Excel document person. So I have literally an Excel document of like red flags that like if this pops up, the only alternative is to break up with this person. So like if this pops up with it, we are done. That is the end of the relationship. And then I have yellow ones where it's like, this is concerning, but like if we can work through it, then it's not a like a concern. And then green ones where like these are traits that you're looking for in someone. And so it's like therapist approved. I've like shown some of my best friends and done a lot of repair work with the friends too that, you know, like had kind of like sided with my partner and stuff. And so I actually don't feel like I've made another mistake like this again. In fact, it sounds probably pretty bad too, but I'm constantly looking for these kind of traits in current partner.
No, so, but I think that's a benefit to your experience, even though it was extremely painful. I mean, think about all the heartache that you've saved yourself from people that you're going to date in the future because you know this about yourself and you know you don't want to repeat it. I mean, there are some people that just continue to get in a cycle of making the same wrong decisions, and we hope that one day that changes. But the fact that you were able to make a change, I think speaks a lot about your character and the work you've done in therapy.
And I really appreciate that. And shout out to my therapist. I have to say, it feels like an uphill battle every day. Like I said, I refuse to do this again. At the first sign of the red flag, right, I will be questioning everything and I will be sitting down and being very real with myself. Like, are you making the same mistake again? Are you settling for less than you deserve? Are you in a toxic relationship? So yeah, I'm going to do my damnedest to avoid ever doing this again, I guess is what I'll say.
Do you, in hindsight, looking back on that year, I mean, do you think there's an alternate universe where you would have actually broken it off earlier, do you regret that at all?
No.
And honestly, all of my friends and everyone I've ever told this story to asked that question, if I regret staying for that year, and I don't.
It was the year that I needed to really come to terms with what was happening. Because before I kept trying to like shove it down. I was trying to ignore the toxic behaviors, ignore the sexuality issues, ignore all of those things. And in that year, I didn't hold back with feeling the things I was feeling. And I really just allowed myself to observe the things that were happening in a way that I hadn't to before. Like, I was being like really honest with myself in that year. And I think without that year, I would have always wondered, oh, could we have made it work? And so like, I have no question now as to whether or not I could have made it work, because I gave every effort that I could. I gave the opportunity to make up for what happened. And I look back on it and like, I'm able to tell this story now differently because I was able to reflect in that year. It also helped me get the career that I was like looking for. I could have probably done it without it, but it just not rocking the boat and like becoming someone who had to like move in the middle of grad school while I was trying to finish all this important work and like applying to jobs, like it made it so I was like living in a relatively stable, like the devil you know situation. So I have no regrets on staying that last year, actually, which shocks a lot of people. I think it was something that I needed. I might not do it again. I don't regret it, no.
Well, I think that's the important thing. When you are faced with two decisions that are hard in different ways, I think that's kind of the one thing that you have to ask yourself is, which one am I going to regret the least? You know, even though there's hard things about both, like there would have been hard things about leaving him and potentially putting your career at risk, but there were also hard things about staying with him and having to face that relationship every day.
It was really hard. There were hard things about that, but again, it was the devil I knew.
And also, when I think back on it, it gave me one
last year with this dog. It gave me one last year.
Yeah. It's really a love story about the dog.
It really is. And like, honestly, like they're just the best. And I just hope he's doing well. I don't really know, but like, I just hope he is. So yeah, it's really just like my commitment to my pets. It's what really drove me to stay, honestly, more than anything. And then I just wanted to add too, this is important to mention earlier. So this STD I was worried about turned out to not be an STD. I got fully tested. It was horrifying and embarrassing, but I got fully tested for every STD under the sun, from like AIDS to chlamydia. And I had none. It wasn't an STD that I had gotten from my partner. It turns out, like working with my dermatologist, I was allergic to the Tide pods I had switched to. I'm allergic to the dye in Tide. And so I was just having an allergic reaction to that. And so I found out that he was cheating on me. And like the end, like the catalyst for the end was actually just an allergic reaction to my detergent.
I gotta say, that's divine intervention, because I didn't think about it. If you hadn't had that happen, do you think you would have ever found out about his infidelity?
No, I think he would have gone to the grave with it. Or done it again and like done everything he could to hide it again. No, I absolutely, like, I agree. That's what it feels like. It feels like the universe saying, like, you've suffered enough. This is the information that you need, but we're not going to hurt you and give you like an STD or like AIDS or something. Yeah. Yeah. It felt like divine intervention for sure. And it was the information that I needed to like get me to the end. It took me a little while to like grasp it all, but yeah, it's wild. I don't use Tide to this day because of it, you know, but honestly, I think about it. I'm like, yeah, I see it on the shelves when I'm like at Target, like shout out to Tide because saved my life.
This would be a good point to mention that this episode is sponsored by Gain.
Obviously. I know, exactly.
This episode is not sponsored by Gain, that I know of yet. Jeez, did you find out anything after the end of this relationship? Do you think he was still cheating on you during that year? Or do you think he was really trying to make this work?
I feel like after relationships end, people find out about it. So like, I really didn't announce it anywhere. I just told my close friends and just removed him from my social media. But like, as people were finding out, more people were reaching out and saying like, oh, like he told me that you guys were like either like in an open relationship or that, I don't know about physical cheating, but like he was talking to and emotionally cheating on me with multiple people. So this was like a persistent thing that I found out later.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it makes some trust issues, let me tell you.
As hard as this was for you, and I don't condone anything that he did in terms of infidelity, I can also empathize with the fact that I'm sure with the mix of his religious upbringing and also just some of the shame that does come with men being afraid to come out and women be afraid to come out, you know, all that. Was he ever able to accept that part of himself? Do you know what he's up to today?
I really don't. I mean, we have some friends, but like I make a point of not asking. I don't wish him poorly. I mean, he hurt me a lot. I hope that he heals, hope he figures out his own toxic behaviors. And I hope that, you know, like he does figure out his own sexuality, because I like I said, like I cared about him a lot and I do want him to be happy and to find something. And so like I feel that way about it. But what's really interesting is that the only situation between when we broke up years ago and me seeing him again, it's going to be this spring. We have one mutual friend's wedding that we've both been invited. I will be seeing him for the first time in
several years at this wedding. It's gonna, I hopefully feel like the full closure and like the full, like I've come full circle. I'm doing so well now and it's gonna not be awkward, but who knows? It could still be really awkward. So I'm gonna be seeing him soon for the first time in a couple years, and it's gonna be interesting to say the least.
Are you scared at all, or are you just ready to finally put this story to bed?
I'm a little nervous about a couple things. I'm a little nervous that, like, because of like how much he loves to push shots and like how much he loves to like drink to forget, that he's gonna get belligerent drunk and do something stupid and like make the wedding day awkward for the bride, who I care a lot about and who I don't want that to happen to. So what I've actually decided to do is I'm going to be attending the ceremony and the cocktail hour afterwards, but I won't be attending the reception because I just want to avoid that kind of confrontation or anything bad happening. Like, I'd rather leave earlier than let that happen. But let me tell you, I'm going to be showing up very, very hot, and I'm just going to be like, like, look how well I'm doing without you. Like, a little bit of pettiness. I think you can tell from this at this point that I'm very methodical in the way that I do things. And so I've really thought through the best way to approach this. And so I'll be able to see him. He'll be able to see me. I'll still support my friend. And then I'm going to leave before there's any opportunity for it to be awkward or for him to approach me. So that, and that'll be the end. I don't have any other mutual connection that would cause us to cross paths again.
Well, of course, everybody has that bit of pettiness wanting to show their ex that you're so much better off without them. But I also think you're setting yourself up to feel your best in a situation where you're probably going to feel pretty shitty when you see him. Yeah. So it makes me sad that you feel like you have to miss out on your friend's reception. But I also recognize that that's probably a healthy thing for you to set a boundary and say, you know what, I'm going to support my friend, but I'm not going to put myself in a situation to feel vulnerable and attacked.
That's the biggest catalyst for me changing the way that in which I would attend this wedding. But the other thing too is, like, I'm dating this really amazing guy now. He's been invited to the wedding, and I told him, no, I want to do this alone. And he is in like a local band, actually, like on the side of the state where he and I live. And he's got a show that night that's really important to him, and it's going to be really fun. And all my very best friends are all going to be there. And so that's actually what I'm leaving the reception to go to instead. So his like local band show where they're the headliner and everything. So it's all come very full circle. Yeah. So I'm going to like leave this awkward situation at this wedding and go have a great time with all the people that are most important to me.
Well, that's awesome. Good for you. And I'm glad that you're at least going to something exciting rather than just running away from a really shitty situation.
Yeah.
So to close it out, I mean, do you have any advice? Like, if somebody is in a relationship where they either feel trapped or if they just don't really know how to handle a situation where they're not necessarily ready to leave a relationship, what advice would you give that person?
It's hard because I know that, like, in those situations, someone isn't going to leave until they're ready. And so I think what I'd say is that as long as, like, you know, your life isn't at risk, you're not worried about like something happening to you, do it when you're ready. Because like forcing things before you're ready, I feel like sometimes people force those things before they're ready, and that's what causes them to slip back into those patterns. So like they do it because someone tells them that they should, or so they do it because that's what they think they need to do. And like they probably do need to do it, but more than anything, I think that people should do it when they feel ready, so that way they don't look back and think like, oh, well, you know, maybe I made a mistake, or I'm just going to jump right into the next thing that's equally as bad. So doing it when you're ready is one of the most important things. And then the second thing is, relatedly, the people that you're in a relationship with like this are going to make you not trust yourself. And that's not founded. You need to trust yourself. You should trust yourself. It's going to take a lot of time, but like, you know what's best for you. Deep down, when your gut tells you something's wrong, you need to listen to it and don't ignore it. I mean, that sounds really cliche, but it's true. Like, most of the time our gut is right, and you need to trust yourself, because if you don't, that's how you end up doing something for a really long time that in the end isn't right for you. So those are the two things that I would give as advice. In addition to, if you feel like you need to hide things from your family and friends, it's probably not a good relationship for you to be in, because you shouldn't have to hide bad things from the people that love you in order for them to not hate your partner. So yeah, those are the three things that I think that I walk away with, and that I hope other people understand, and that I've shared with friends in similar situations.
Be sure to tune in on Thursday for a breakdown of this week's episode. We covered so many topics that I feel like we've talked about in a lot of different episodes. So I'll be going through a lot of the things that I've learned from the past season's breakdown bonus episodes that also relate to this episode, like self-trust and gaslighting and red flags, all the good stuff. And of course, there will be another main episode coming up next Tuesday. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big.